your destiny. Flawless victory. Choose your destiny. Flawless victory.
Welcome once again to the Hunnic Outcast Mortal Kombat Street Fighter Retro Series. Once again, I'm be joined by co-hosts Kendra and Edward Hale from All Hale Studios. But be warned, this podcast will contain detailed plot spoilers and salty language. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we're discussing Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Yes, that's right, Annihilation. Hunnic Outcast here, and destroy all expectations. Isn't it not glorious? I am the year 1997, destroyer of franchises. Kendra, Edward, tell me, did you see this one in theaters?
No.
No.
No, good for you. I can tell by the look on your face right now how enthusiastic we're talking about Annihilation. When did you first see this one?
So excited. I loved the movie.
Oh, you did?
I did.
So, when did you see this? You saw this on video, I take it, correct?
Yes.
How many times did you burn out your VCR when you saw this one?
None.
Oh. See, mine was different. Raiden's my favorite, and this one had my favorite Raiden, so this was at least 100 watches.
Saw this one in theaters, but it was a little bit different than the last movie, because when I saw this one in theaters, it was a younger crowd. Had a bunch of kids, they watched it, but they were, of course, going ape when they saw their characters, but the problem was, this was a story from Mortal Kombat 3, not Mortal Kombat 2, the video game. This one kind of deals, I guess I should go into the plot in a way where Emperor Shao Kahn, as we know, appeared in the last movie. He found a way to get through Earthrealm without the tournament, but there's a catch, and that's resurrecting the body of Queen Sidel, who of course was the mother to Princess Katana, but now through dark magic she is evil and whatnot. So all we have left are Raiden, Johnny Cage, Sonya, and Liu Kang. And apparently Johnny Cage dies. Which is weird. Yeah, fatality, yeah. He just gets his neck broken like Superman Man of Steel. Yeah. And then we get the hamster fuckballs, where the group just goes into these hamster balls, and they, you know, Sonya goes to the Lost World Jurassic Park set, because it's 1997, and, well, she does. Then, of course, we get Sub-Zero and Scorpion her somehow back. And they fight Katana, and they fight Liu Kang. And we find out that Sub-Zero is actually, it's the brother, not the Sub-Zero from the last movie. But Scorpion is back, and it's the same one from the last movie. And he kidnaps Katana, and then what happens is Raiden goes to the gods like Superman 2. Remember that one? Where he's like, my powers are a curse. And just decides that he's going to give up his powers, and now he has a new accoutrement from, I guess, Mortal Kombat 3. Meanwhile, Jax is the token black guy in this movie. He has cybernetic arms, and they fight Smoke and Cyrex, and he goes all Predator. And apparently then, I don't even remember. It's pretty much stuff gets blown up. We get Melina, which she does nothing except fight Sonya, and that has nothing to do with anything. Then we get the four kind of reunite. We have Sonya fighting Ermac. We have, Jax fighting Mataro. We find out that Raiden and Shao Kahn are brothers and they're not going to fight. And Shao Kahn decides to kill Raiden. Liu Kang turns into a dragon. He kills, I guess he kills Shao Kahn. The father, Shinnok, we forget about him, turns into a Rubusku character, and everything is okay in the world again. I guess we should go into the opening of this. We have some new characters, of course. We've got Mataro, and we got Shiva. I don't know if you're fans of these characters at all.
Well, you're forgetting the two other ones it brings in. You get to see, you get Jade. Nightwolf gets brought into it.
Oh, we'll get to them. Believe me, we're going to get into Jade and we're going to get into Nightwolf. I have a lot to say about those two. I definitely have a lot to say about those characters. But we have Shiva, Mataro. Those are my favorite characters. We got the Centaur and we've got... Is she the sister of Goro?
No, she's just from the same species.
The same species? Okay. I was always confused because I never played as her. I just remember seeing, like, there was a four-armed woman and, you know, I guess, they came from the same species. But again, we have a new Raiden this time. We have Ray Park. We have Darth Maul. Well, it is. It's Darth Maul, and I'm okay with this. I love the fact that it's Darth Maul. He does do his move from the video game. This also kind of takes something out of Transformers, the movie 1986. We have where Raiden is actually fighting this time around, and we have Raiden versus the Emperor, but Johnny Cage comes in. And just like, you know, Transformers, instead of Hot Rod getting killed, like he should have, instead we have Johnny Cage dies in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Now, according to the script, if Lyndon Ashby returned, he was going to die regardless. What happened was, he looked at the script and says, why am I going to die? So he just threw the script out. Any thoughts with this about them killing Cage early in the movie? Was this, like, better, worse, or do you think it was pointless killing him?
I mean, it added an element to it that you hadn't seen in the first one. I mean, you actually saw a main character go down and actually stay down. There's a debate going on behind me. I apologize.
No, that's okay, and that's a good debate, because I do remember Liu Kang getting killed later in the video game franchise.
Yeah, the New Alliance.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Quan Chi. It was one of the sorcerers that kind of looks like Kratos from God of War. This kind of gets bizarre because I guess they're supposed to be in the Temple of Light in China. I can never tell. But pretty much what happens after this is that they go underneath the temple and they go into these hamster balls where in order to operate them, it's got to be two people. And let's be honest and fair, they gyrate their bodies. They're motion their bodies. These are... Well, they are. These are grinder balls. I mean, what? I don't know. They're perverted balls. I don't know how else to put these things.
These are actually all comments that her and I made the other night while we were watching it.
They're stress balls.
Yes. They're definitely balls, and they're definitely to help relieve stress, and we'll leave it at that. Because it's one guy, one woman. That's all I'm going to say. I can only imagine if we had Raiden and Liu Kang in this. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But they separate. And
it's fan fiction.
Yeah, it's fan fiction. But anyway, the characters separate. We have Sonya, Jurassic Park. Jax, I don't know. Michael Jai White was supposed to be Jax in this series, but instead, you know, he becomes Jax in Legacy, and we'll get there. But we get another character that just is the token black guy. I have problems with this character. There's nothing to him. He's pretty much just spouting, like, jive phrases, and he's got the cybernetic arms. Jax was never my favorite character. He doesn't really do much other than use the arms and, you know, punch your head off. But I kind of feel like, because he's in the sequels, we'll put him in. I felt that if you had to take one character out, there was no reason to keep Jax in this game. And then, of course, we have Smoke and Cyrex that... The robots with dreadlocks. How did you feel about the fighting sequences with these two characters? Like, better, worse, or...
I've seen better schoolyard fights, honestly, but that, for its time, it's what it was, I guess.
I loved it. Solely for the fact that they were bringing in characters that you got the chance to play from the game that weren't there in the first movie. You didn't even get a hint of these people in the first movie. And these were characters where, when I played the game, their stories and their backstories for the story modes for them were amazing. So to see them on the big screen and see them in a movie,
it was cool seeing them on the big screen, but...
Well, yeah, we had a lot of American gladiators that were in this movie. That I am aware of.
Was Kentaro one of them?
Yeah, he was one of the... I believe he was one of the American gladiators.
Oh, Mataro?
Yeah, Mataro was one of the gladiators, yeah. He was definitely one of the American gladiators in this movie. But then, of course, we have the most idiotic of fights. You know, if you thought the Sub-Zero fight was stupid last time, it's even more moronic now. now we have it where we have Kitana and Liu Kang. It's not the Sub-Zero, as I said. It's Sub-Zero's brother. But he freezes a gap, making it into, like, this styrofoam bridge. It's the only way that I can... And that's what it is. It's this marshmallow styrofoam bridge, and if you look, like, 10 feet below it is a mattress. They keep trying to break the damn thing. Scorpion, I guess, is still under the Spectre control of Quan Chi. I'm not quite sure. But he grabs Kitana and goes, sucker. And we can tell by the production values that nothing is... And then Sub-Zero's like, okay, go out to the desert, Liu Kang, and go find Nightwolf.
For some reason.
I mean, the battle for this one, though, was... at least for me, it was more exciting than the one in the first movie.
Well, that's because, you know, Raiden's not around to take buckets of water and put them down and just, like, walk away, or whoever did that.
Well, you actually had to have a choreographed fight, though.
Well, we're going to get to some better, you know, Sub-Zero fights. This one wasn't it. But then, for some reason, Scorpion dies. Shao Kahn is upset because, I don't know, Raiden wasn't killed, Liu Kang wasn't killed. So, Sub-Zero dies. He's thrown into the fire by a hammer or something, by Thor's hammer, I guess. It's on loan. And Sindel wants to be general and...
Yeah, Rain got killed. You never see Scorpion or Sub-Zero again. And Ermac gets beaten in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have this whole animosity between Mataro and Shiva, which never pays off whatsoever, other than the fact that they're both freaks and they're saying, like, you belong in the zoo, you belong in a cage. Nothing ever pays off with that.
Anybody that played the games, their backstory is as soon as Goro lost the first Mortal Kombat, Shiva's race fell out of favor with Shao Kahn, and Mataro and his people were the ones that stepped up, so there was the blatant animosity between the two of them. That's the backstory on that.
Well, that is the backstory, but the problem is they don't explain that in the movie, and the problem is that even if you hadn't played Mortal Kombat 3 or Mortal Kombat 4, you don't know what's going on between these two characters other than the fact they both hate each other. And I was kind of hoping... I think by Mortal Kombat 2011, she's a savior or something. But nothing's really explained too much with this movie other than the fact that just, here are your favorite characters, there you go. And speaking of Liu Kang, he wanders the desert... He comes across Nightwolf, that's supposed to be a fan favorite.
Yeah. Love the character.
Yeah, but again, what happens to him? He kind of comes and he leaves.
But it was cool getting to see somebody throw a hatchet at Liu Kang's face.
Yeah.
It was not cool having, I guess, a camera and Liu Kang trying to fight a first-person perspective camera. That I'm just going to say before he turns, you know, from a wolf back into Nightwolf. And this is Lightfoot, might I add. Lightfoot, who Cole the Conqueror and the Indian in the Cupboard. So it would have been interesting to see a little more of this character. But he comes and he leaves. The desert turns into snow. And...
Jade!
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us about Jade? Because I've never played this character.
Before we get to Jade, though... Nightwolf's only reason for being in this movie was to bring up the bane of this movie's existence with the animalities.
Yeah.
That's fucking right. He was the Indian in the Cupboard.
Oh, sorry. Goodness.
Next story, she was an assassin hired by Shao Kahn, if I'm not mistaken, to watch over Kitana. Because he always expected her betrayal and he wanted an assassin to be able to take her down should she go to the other side. And that was basically her point and the point of Molina after Kitana did the inevitable betrayal.
What do you think?
I kind of get that, but she comes in half naked in the snow.
Wasn't it epic, though?
If it were a better director, and if it wasn't the director of photography from the last movie, and it was somebody who directed music videos, I would say yes. Here, she just kind of, like, walks in. I'm sorry.
Don't make me the guy in this podcast. She was gorgeous.
I think Sindel is gorgeous. I think Shiva was gorgeous. Yeah. But
I was a fan of the females that were in it. There was a heavy cast of female characters in this one.
You would think this would be a girl power movie, but the only problem that I have with this is that Kitana seems to be taken out very quickly. She's in the movie for God knows how long, and she's captured by Scorpion. You would think that she would find a way, if she's 10,000 years old and she knows all the tricks of the trade of Outworld, how to get out of that cage. But she's just sitting there and she goes, Lou, it's a trap. I mean, I kind of was hoping that she would do, but she's just sitting there like, Lou, wait, Mother? You're alive? Her line reads are atrocious. They were worse than the last movie and they're worse now. So I don't quite understand, other than the fact that she looks pretty, she doesn't do much in this film. But Jade, I guess, is trying to seduce Liu Kang. Doesn't succeed. And pretty much whatever. Then, of course, we get Superman 2, where Raiden goes up to the gods. It's the Fortress of Solitude. I'm just going to say it, and it is. It's the Fortress of Solitude, and what happens is Raiden asks the gods three questions, because he's only allowed three questions for some reason, even though the gods are allowing the tournament, whatever happened in the tournament doesn't matter, and Shao Kahn can do whatever he wants to do. So apparently Raiden has to give up his powers. You know, we'll just make up everything as we go along. Raiden, I guess, becomes the character that he would be, or robes or whatever, in the third video game.
Yeah, he gets a haircut.
Yeah, he gets a haircut, he gets new digs. But then we find out that he and Shao Kahn are brothers, which, of course, this is, you know, Empire Strikes Back all over. We got Superman 2 and Empire Strikes Back. We also got Nightwolf, who kind of becomes like Yoda, where he's like, you know, you have to have three challenges. We got Luke Skywalker's son, who's like, no, I want everything now. But we find out with the tattoos that they're a safe passage or whatever. We have a Melina Sonya fight on this one. The problem, we know who Melina is, of course, correct? Yeah. Yes. You're not a fan of Melina.
Oh, I'd love Melina.
I loved her in the game.
I adore her in the game.
So downplayed, it wasn't even funny.
Oh, you mean for the movie, of course.
Well, yes.
Well, here's my question then. For those who don't know who Melina is, she's sometimes mistaken for Katana.
When Shao Kahn took over their place and married Sindel and took over as daddy, he knew something was going to happen and there was going to be an inevitable betrayal and hatred from Katana. So what Melina is she is basically a clone of Katana that was meant to not hate him and be his personal, basically, bodyguard. She was his and his alone. Melina is actually almost perfect without the mask, copy of Katana. As soon as that mask comes off, she looks like Baraka, because she has Tarkatan blood in her, and she's got a mean bite.
Yes, and yep. Basically, I do know that one of her fatalities is that she would suck her opponents in and spit out the bones.
Yeah!
Yes. But here, it's like Melina's just here for the sake of being here, and it's just her and Sonya fighting in mud, no less. Which, spelled backwards, is dumb, with a capital D. Other than the fact this is something for, I guess, the older crowd, I don't understand the point of Sonya fighting Melina other than Melina was just in the video game.
They wanted the mud.
Yeah, they wanted the mud.
No, what I love, though, is you got the mud fight scene, and then, like, 5 minutes later, he's completely clean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the realms are merging, so everything. Look, that's what you're worried about.
Cleaning. Who knew?
I mean, the fact that there are light switch special effects going on, like you're playing with the light switch, and you know, the Eiffel Tower is now in the desert, and a highway is no longer in San Francisco. I'm not going to complain about that, or the fact that everything that happened in the tournament doesn't matter anymore. Then we get to where Raiden tells Katana that if she talks to Sindel, that she'll break the spell and Sindel won't be evil anymore. Apparently, Sindel wakes up and says, "I never really loved you," and she goes all Wonder Woman. Jade, of course, has her line reads like, "Oh, it was so easy," which I hate.
I love that. That was a good face.
Yeah, it was an interesting. Yeah, she gives good face. I'll give her that. But
I didn't mean her.
Well, I did. But then somehow Shao Kahn feeds her to a dragon, because Shao Kahn is enjoying killing people left and right, even his own people, for some reason. And we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, I'm just going to move ahead towards the ending. We get to, like, the final battle, because Liu Kang's like, he's not ready to fight Shao Kahn. I don't think anybody is. They're just moving faster into this one. We've got Sonya versus Irmak. We've talked about him, because there was something with the programming that sometimes Sub-Zero or Scorpion would just have their, you know, clothes changed to red. Mataro fights Jax. You know, Sindel and Katana fight. And, of course, we have Shao Kahn and Liu Kang. This is a different type of ending from the last movie. I do like the editing, where we're going from, like, Mataro, and then to Sindel, and to Liu Kang, and to... Find this one a little bit better, or do you think they did better with the editing on this one?
Editing was alright. I think Irmak would have walked him off the floor with Sonya's ass. The whole Jax-Mataro fight was just hilarious. Awesome animality animation after everybody changed. Some straight Jurassic Park shit going on there.
Well, again, this was 1997. The one thing that I hate, though, is Raiden is not going to fight his brother, then he's about to, and then all of a sudden, Shao Kahn takes out Raiden with one blow.
I'm unconscious.
Yeah, and he's like, well, at least I die immortal. Liu Kang starts to fight Shao Kahn, he has his animality, and then all of a sudden, Liu Kang may be winning. Shao Kahn turns to his father, Shinnok, and we'll get to him, because that's the Emperor's Emperor, for argument's sake. The gods finally show up, and they go like, everything will be determined that by Mortal Kombat. It wasn't before, but now we promise you, everything will be finalized with Mortal Kombat. So we get the Immortals singing the song again, for like 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden Shao Kahn starts beating the ever-living shit out of Liu Kang, for no reason whatsoever. He's just able to beat the shit out of the guy. And then, of course, somehow we get the animalities. This was something new for the sequel. Like, they wanted to change it around, and, you know, we had babalities, we had friendship, and now we have animalities. I think we talked about this, that one of them turns into a penguin, Liu Kang turns into a dragon.
Yeah, Scorpion turns into a penguin.
Yeah, he turns into a penguin. Sonya turned into a scorpion? No. Who turned into this? It wasn't Scorpion.
Cabal,
okay. The dragon special effects, I don't know what to tell you. It feels like something out of The Incredible Hulk, in a way, from the 1980s TV movie.
Hey, that's an offense to Lou Ferrigno, man.
Well, and Bill Bixby. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how they're doing the special effects.
We have animated better stuff on Windows Paint.
Yeah, this is really horse shit. But then, somehow, Liu Kang wins, and Shao Kahn turns into a Rubik's Cube Phantom Zone character, and he just goes away. Light switch goes on and off again, and everything turns back to normal. Raiden is not dead after all, and he gets his godlike powers back.
Actually, he ascends to be the God of the Wind at that point.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, because everything else is blowing in the wind. Yeah, and he tells, you know, the remaining four, Luke, you know, you're a family now and that's it. I have to ask you, I know this is probably one of the shorter ones, how would you rate this one, Kendra?
What are we doing on our scale this time? Are we doing it on 5 again?
Yeah, 0 to 5. I don't know how else to review this one.
I have to make it a 4.
Really?
This is the first time that they've done it. They brought video game characters that weren't just the main ones. They brought some of the ones that had amazing backstories if they do them properly. But try, there's a lot of effort that I'll give respect points for with that.
I guess it's my turn now?
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, I'll give it like a 2 or a 3 just for nerd scale. But, you know, some of my favorite characters showing up on film. Presently watching it, sitting back actually watching it on Blu-ray, I give it like a -14. God damn.
We finally got a giggle.
I did it. That movie was a joke, man. I mean, I had to wash out my mouth with, you know, Mortal Kombat Legacy after that, and I was just like, alright, I feel better. I
saw this movie in theaters like the last one. I went in there with no expectations, and I left with no expectations. I would watch it late at night when it showed up on TNT. I was never bored. The line reads, suck. I was never bored. The line reads were flat. I was never bored. The chemistry between the actors and the characters are horseshit. I was never bored. The special effects were something out of God knows what program I can think of, Adobe After Effects. I was never bored. I give this one a 3.5. It's you have to watch this movie and find out what the hell you're watching, because the fight between Motaro and Jax, even on a Blu-ray transfer, I still can't see who's doing what to whom. It's still poorly lighted.
Go back to the Raiden reptile. He can't fight, so he's just going to spin around in a circle a couple times to get those close-up shots, and then have the stunt guy who's standing for the rest of it show blatant face shots of him.
Yeah,
there are a lot of... Thankfully, it would be about 15 years before we... Well, actually, it'd be a couple of years, and we would finally get Conquest. I gotta sit down and watch Conquest again. I have it.
Yeah,
we will be discussing that one. Next week, we got Legacy.
Yeah!
Next week, we will be discussing the first Legacy DVD. And we're gonna be doing it in a movie format, because I decided that there's a playoff function. That's the only way I can watch it. I can't watch it episode by episode by episode. It feels like a movie. It's treated like a movie. We're gonna review it like a movie. And then after that, we finish off with Legacy 2. Electric, thank God you saved this franchise. Towards the end of May, Street Fighter. As usual, well, we know where the good people can find you, of course, but what are you up to recently? Any new inks?
Oh, goodness. Yep, I've got a new Eric Vassaluta that I'm working on that people will get to see here shortly in the next couple of days. I've got Night Owl, which is getting the new pages up, so just look for Night Owl. That one's getting ready to hit hardcore. We've got an amazing art team on it. I'm super excited for it. And I've got a secret project that I can't talk about yet, but I will as soon as I'm able to. So if they want to come find me, they can. I'm very nice. They can come friend me.
Of course. And of course, I have a very special Mother's Day episode that'll be out May the 9th.
No more wire hangers.
Yeah, no more wire hangers. We're going to be discussing Mommy Dearest. I cannot wait, because the audio commentary is also by John Waters, and we will be doing a John Waters discussion down the road, you know. Yeah. Well, with everything that's happened with Baltimore, I figured we have to, you know, there are some positive things in Baltimore, and John Waters is it. Kendra, Edward, everyone out there, listeners, thank you so much. The downloads have been climbing. We're almost at 2,000, almost at 3,000, and when that happens, welcome to the world of tomorrow. I've got the 4 Futurama DVD movies to discuss. Thank you again, everyone, but until next time, your souls are mine.
Trash Video is your one-stop video shop in Sleazoid City.
Who the fuck is that dickhead?
I don't know.
We have the best rental stock of horror, cult, B-grade movies available on VHS.
Movies with corpse rape? Oh, let me get set.
Blu-ray? Fuck that shit! VHS!
Faces of Death is a family film.
Our professional, friendly, and knowledgeable staff are here to help you.
Hey, Roxy, after the shift, you want to go watch a porno with me?
Shut up, Steph. I'm doing my nails.
So stop on by the store today.
I smell like video tapes in here.
TrashVideoPodcast.com.